Now to him who has loved us and washed our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord this morning comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else, and to another the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles, another the gift of prophecy, another the evaluating of spirits, someone else different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free people, and we were all caused to drink one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, dear beloved of God. Two is company, but three is a crowd. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Well, it's often spoken in the romantic context, of course. You wouldn't want to be that pesky third. That would be unwanted, would you? But there's another saying of a group of three. Three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. That, of course, was written by Benjamin Franklin, the American founding father. It's quite a dramatic thing to say, but there is some truth, nevertheless, behind it. The truth is, the more people involved in something, typically the more complicated that thing becomes. This idea also brings to my mind a recent quote from a movie. Two people in a room can get much more done than 100, unless you need to move a piano. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's a unique Sunday. Every other event in the church calendar is based off an event. Christmas, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost. But Trinity Sunday is the only Sunday in the church year that is based off a doctrine. It's a unique Sunday dedicated to the most unique Christian doctrine, the Holy Trinity. Today we will bless the Lord. We will bless the Father, we will bless the Son, and bless the Spirit. As they are connected to each other, so too have we been made a part of the union of God. He is three, and he is one, as we confessed in that creed. We too, his people, are many, and yet we too are also one. He gives diverse gifts to many, but it's all for that singular purpose of serving each other and serving him. We have all been made the body of Christ, a body with many members, but one distinct, unified purpose. And so we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's a question for you. Where do you find the word Trinity in your Bible? What passage can you turn to that says Trinity? The reason that no one will come up with an answer to this question is because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. No passage ever says Trinity or triune in Scripture. This is something that other denominations would like to point out to you, They like want you to make you feel dumb or stupid for the fact that this fundamental doctrine that you hold so dear in your faith, its wording, its name is not given in Scripture. But of course, just because the name Trinity is not invoked in the Bible does not mean the teaching of the Trinity is not there. It certainly is, as our Scripture readings today proved out. In Isaiah 6, you have the angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," three different times. Or look at the Great Commission, the standing orders of the Christian church today. What did Jesus say? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Sometimes it can be easy to miss, though. Let's look at the first few verses of our text here this morning. There are various kinds of gift, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. There, Paul mentions Spirit, Lord, and God. You have the third person, the second person, and the first of the triune God. They're all the same God, but they're also three distinct persons. He's one, and he's three. Well, it's important to know this great concept, which this text certainly speaks to. We also need to know what the text says about that triune God. It says that there are many different gifts, ministries, and activities, but they all come from the same source, the same God. The Holy Spirit gives all kinds of gifts. There are various ministries given by the Lord and to serve the Lord in, and there are all kinds of different activities for people to perform that the Father gives, but one Lord, many different things he gives to us to do, his people. Just like the Lord is divine and not divided, so too are the things he gives to us. You can't say that you are able to do anything without first acknowledging that it is God who has given you that ability. He empowers us to do all sorts of things. Through him, we can be all kinds of productive, but without him, we can't do anything. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else, and to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given power to do miracles, another the gift of prophecy, another the evaluating of spirits, someone else different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. Last week we talked about the Pentecost, that visible display of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There are certain church bodies out there who try to recreate those gifts given on that day, try to focus on miracles and speaking in tongues. To them, it's proof that they indeed are saved. But that's not really what Pentecost was about. It was about that helper, that Holy Spirit being outpoured, being given to those men, and through him, they were able to do great things. The problem with striving for those gifts that those church bodies do is that they produce a spiritual superiority complex. They think, hey, look what I can do. I can speak in tongues. Thus, I have faith. I am saved. But you can't, so you're not. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit never separate. What they do is unify. Many people feel superior to other people for a variety of reasons, of course. But most of those reasons are based on things that they cannot control. Things that were given to them. Just look at how wealth often separates people. Just because someone is wealthy, whether or not they were born with that wealth or they strove to get it themselves, does not mean that they are superior to anyone else. The same can be said about looks or social status or athletic ability. It's all gifts. Why would someone be better than someone else because of something that has been purely given to them? We like to feel better than others because of these things, of course, but really we're missing out on the whole point of what we have been given and entrusted with by our God. We should use what God has given to us, not to feel superior to anybody else, but for His glory. Use what God gave you to serve others and then to serve Him. That's how the body of Christ is built up. He, of course, richly blesses us all. What has God given you? What are you blessed with? Well, this too can be easily diminished or dismissed. We often feel like, I'm not talented, at least not like other people that I know. But not only are we wrong to have that feeling, to think that, it also downplays what your giver God has given to you. Sometimes we are poor self-evaluators. We don't see the value of the gifts that we have been given, and this produces low self-esteem. But we have to admit that God has richly blessed us all. Maybe we aren't as talented as someone else that we know of, but each believer has truly been given gifts by God. God wants us to use these gifts given to us by Him for His glory, for Him, to serve Him and our neighbor. But then, of course, there's that other ditch that we can also easily fall into. On one hand, we're quick to think we're not talented, we haven't been given these great gifts by our God. And on the other hand, we also think that we're not as bad as other people. At least I'm not as bad as that person. Maybe I'm not the most talented, but not as bad as them. I think this is the downfall of our sinful nature. We're quick to dismiss what God has blessed us with, and we're just as quick to justify ourselves in comparison to someone else. Both attitudes, of course, are sinful. Both lack truth. When it comes to evaluating yourself, your talents, and your gifts, look to the Bible. First, start with confession. Acknowledge, like Isaiah did there in Isaiah 6, that you are sinful, a man of unclean lips. Acknowledge the sin that you have done. Confession has nothing to do with anyone else. It has everything to do with you, your accountability for your sin. I am sinful. It doesn't matter how I compare to anyone else. At the end of the day, I'm still sinful. That sin still condemns me. Don't be like that Pharisee who praised God for not being like other men, like that tax collector. But be like that tax collector who could not even lift his eyes up to God and instead confess, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then after that confession, see how your God has handled that sin. He did so through His Son, going to the cross. That was the plan of the Father since the fall into sin. And it was the Holy Spirit who gave you the ability, the faith, to believe that Jesus did that for you. It is the Lord, the three in one, who gives you that ultimate gift of salvation. He gives you the gift of salvation. He gives you the gift to believe it. What more could you really ask for? What more? Well, much more also. Not only does He give you that gift of salvation, He gives you other gifts to accentuate that gift. What gifts are mentioned here specifically? A message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, healing gifts, powers to do miracles, the gift of prophecy, the evaluating of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now this, of course, was written in the apostolic age by the Apostle Paul. Some had these gifts at that time, whereas today we don't see those gifts in the same way, such as tongues or miracles. The apostles did things that we would be foolish to try to attempt on our own. But that doesn't mean that these same gifts aren't still given today. They are, just in different ways. Some are given knowledge, as was mentioned, and some are given wisdom. There's a difference between those two things. Perhaps you know someone who is wise, but not too knowledgeable, or who really knows a lot, but is not too wise. Both are still gifts. Some do still today have healing gifts. Maybe they don't heal in the way that the apostles did in Acts, but they still have medical minds who are able to heal people. Case in point of these different gifts, I myself have the gift of interpretation of tongues mentioned here. Well, I don't have the gift of different tongues. That is, I have been trained in seminary to read Greek and Hebrew. This by no means makes me a linguist or a scholar by any case, but the Lord has blessed me through my education to be able to understand the original languages of Scripture for a working knowledge. I can't speak the language fluently. The whole point here is that we are given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit for spiritual reasons. One and the same Spirit produces all these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. There are also many other gifts not mentioned specifically here that we too have been blessed with. The point is, he gives us all of these things, these different gifts, for his glory. The gifts are diverse, and we see that in ourselves here today. Some have this gift, some have that. But it's all given for one purpose. The reason why he gives different gifts is for the singular purpose of blessing the one body of Christ, the church. Verses 12 and 13, "For just as the body is one and many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free people, and we were all caused to drink one Spirit." We are many different people, many different personalities here, but we all serve one Lord. We do so in different specific ways, but it's all in the same service of the Lord. We see this play out today. The pastor serves the Lord in the office that he is called to do so, but the other members of the congregation also serve the Lord in the same way, though different ways. How can you serve in your congregation? Well, maybe you've been blessed with the ability to teach, so you can teach a Sunday school class or even members of your own family. Maybe you're given the gift to fix things, so there are maintenance issues that arise in your church and you fix them. You do so in service to the Lord. We are many different people, but we are all one in Christ. Paul writes similarly in Romans on this same subject, Romans 12, "For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." There are practical ways in which, yes, we serve the Lord, but the ultimate way which we do this is by being his witnesses. No matter who you are, no matter what your gifts are, you can still serve the Lord by preaching the gospel of Jesus. He is, after all, the one name given among men by which we can be saved. Maybe you would shy away from that idea of speaking the name of Jesus to others. Maybe you would think, I'm not really good at that. I'm not bold. I don't really have a good tongue to speak about Jesus or enough knowledge to talk about him. I can't really do that. But of course, that is not true. You can. Why am I so certain of this? Well, because it is not you who does this. It is the Holy Spirit who produces faith. You simply are the vessel that brings that word to others. It's the word that has the power, not the vessel. 2 Timothy says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It certainly can be a temptation to feel weak, to feel like you can't share that message of Jesus. But even though we are weak at times, that message never is. The faith inside of you is strong because that is the nature of faith. Yes, we can succumb to the feeling of weakness, but that never means that the faith that believes in Jesus, that takes hold of that promise, that's never weak. It's the Almighty Lord who gave you that gift, so use it. Use it to serve Him. Use it to serve others. He gave this gift, He gave His life, rather, to redeem us all from sin and death. So now you have that gift, and use it to serve Him and others. Yes, many people have different strengths. They may be different from yours, but their gifts and your gifts are from the same source, from the same God. We see that this in the very nature of the Lord we worship. There are three different persons, yet there is one God. They are all the same Lord. They're one. We too are all different kinds of people, different backgrounds, different gifts, but we're all the same body, the body of Christ. We are united to that united Lord, so use the gifts He gave you for His gospel message. Usually, the more people involved in something, the more complicated the thing becomes. Three is a crowd. Two people in a room can get more done than 100, unless you need to move a piano. The piano that the church moves is indeed a big one. It's a very heavy message. It's weighty. Christ crucified. One or two people is not enough. We all need to move that message. We have all been called to do so. So that's what we will do. If you want to go fast, you should go by yourself. If you want to go far, you should go together. We need to go together in this mission of spreading the gospel. The gifts may differ that we have, of course, but they're all given for that same purpose, to preach Christ crucified. We will go far with that message of the gospel. We will do so with what we have been blessed with. We are blessed by the very same God. Many different gifts, of course, are given, different kinds of ministries, different kinds of activity, but the same Spirit, Lord, and God. Let us all serve that same Lord, that three in one, for we have been united in Him. Amen.